O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. In my last call, I worked across the street from a seminary, so I was often working with students and discussing with them what they were studying. I remember a few years ago, I was talking with a friend who was working on homework for her year of Anglican studies. Her particular assignment involved the minute details of the rubrics that guide morning and evening prayer. It quickly became like something like, "Where's Waldo? Prayer book edition." And I know at this point you're all incredibly jealous. One particular question inquired about what happened when a feast day, with its own particular readings, interrupted a group of days in the regular lectionary, which reads through consecutive parts of Scripture, causing us to miss parts of a continuous story. The question referred to that feast day as the intruding feast. That phrase really stuck with me, and I thought of it when I was studying the gospel passage this week. We generally call these the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the one that follows, the parable of the lost or prodigal son. However, I think in many ways, these parables could better be called the parables of the intruding feasts. In these passages, we usually focus on the ones that are lost and then found. Perhaps our focus speaks to how much they resonate with our own spiritual journeys. "I was lost, but now I'm found" are famous words from our most famous hymn, surely due to the truth that it expresses in our own lives. I grew up hearing people's testimonies of how they were greatly lost in sin and how God found them and turned their lives around completely. I could never articulate my own story that way, but I knew that I found resonance with this idea of being lost and found. I've come to realize that for me, being lost and found is almost a cycle in my journey with God. Even our own language of growing up involves finding ourselves and finding our call, admitting that sometimes we are lost. Over and over now, I go about my days seeking things that I believe are what God calls me to do, yet over time, without knowing how I got there, I find myself lost, wondering why I'm doing it all, what is draining every ounce of my energy, and more than anything, realizing that I'm just lost in the busyness of daily life. While we usually focus on the parable of the prodigal son in these series, I think these first two parables have something powerful to tell us. Like a sheep or a coin, it is not I who seek, but I who am sought, a truth I only know when I've been found. It's not our own seeking or our own repenting or anything that we do that makes us found. It is God who is always seeking us, always God who finds us. These parables express a beautiful image of God, the one who leaves security to search wildly for us. And I think the truth of this is witnessed by our own souls that hope deeply for it. Think of those epic stories we tell ourselves. Even two recent best-selling stories for young people. 11-year-old Harry Potter seems like a normal boy, ignored by his family, living in a closet under the staircase, until suddenly one day he learns that he is special. Not just a wizard, but in fact, the chosen one. And then there's Bella in Twilight. She's a relatively normal teen, bouncing between separated parents, until someone recognizes her as a special one amidst a sea of high schoolers. All the way back to Cinderella, how many of our stories tell the tale of someone someday finding us amidst the sea of humanity and recognizing how special we are? We often put our hope in romance, and while this can be a beautiful glimpse of the love of God for us, it will never truly fill this hope that someone is seeking us, that ache deep in our souls to be found. But then when it happens, there is no way to explain it, and so perhaps that's why we cling to this so as a metaphor, the peace of being always already found. Somehow in being found, we realize how truly lost we were. It means admitting that my ways were not in rhythm with how God designed me, and not out of guilt, but out of a desire to live as one who has been found, I must turn again and reorder my life with God. Realizing that I was lost is never happy or easy, but being found is good. It's good, and so it calls for celebration. The picture of God we see in these parables assures us that we do not have a God that is hung up on scolding us for being lost, but one that is always ready to celebrate our being found. While these parables are usually titled and remembered for each lost one, the majority of each parable and the climax of each, what Jesus focuses on in these stories, is actually what happens after the finding. Like the shepherd and the woman who interrupt the normal daily lives of their friends and call together everyone to celebrate, God is always ready to celebrate the return of a child who is lost. The story of being lost and found resonates deeply with us because of its truth, but we can never forget that it's only the beginning of the story. From the beginning of our passage, Jesus is trying to express the life of fellowship with God, the rhythms of living in that communion, and in doing so, he flips the story on who is actually lost and who is found. Remember, our passage began with grumbling among those who faithfully followed their religion, that Jesus was sharing feasts with tax collectors and sinners. They cannot imagine why someone who taught about the kingdom of God, the way life with God would be, would do such a thing. And remember that the climactic parable of this set ends not with the younger brother returning and the father throwing a party, but with the elder brother refusing to join in the celebration. These parables tell us that the way of our God is not what they or we would expect. Our God who seeks us and finds us is always ready to celebrate, and those of us who are part of the fold are called to join in rejoicing, to know that celebration is an essential part of the life of God, to always be looking for and ready to be swallowed up in unexpected moments of grace. But if we're living in rhythms different from God's, such a celebration does not seem to be the presence of God to us. It interrupts whatever we're doing, however well-intentioned it may have been. There's no time to stop for a silly party to celebrate that something is back to where it should have been in the first place. Over and over throughout Scripture, the kingdom of God is described as a feast, and we are called to live out the kingdom of God here. But if we are not living in line with the kingdom of God, such a feast seems to only intrude on the life that we're living. Seems to only interrupt the work that we're doing. When our lives are outside the rhythm of God, the celebration of one who has been found is only an intruding feast. God throws a party to celebrate the one who is lost and is now found, and we become the ones lost at a party, lost in the life of God. If we, like those who are grumbling, are so worried about who is in and who is out, who should and shouldn't be at the table, that we end up not joining in the feast of God, which was right around us all the time. To be found with God, to live with God, is to be always ready to celebrate the good news that one of God's children has been found. Like these parables, our story does not end with being found. Rather, it begins there and invites us into a new life in which we know that the ones next to us are also necessary for the feast. A life that believes that the blessing or even blind luck of another is always cause for me to be glad. Like the shepherd who left the 99 and the woman who left the 9 coins to search for the one that was lost, so for our God, the feast is never complete until all are home. And this is the story that we share here together today and every day. Just as God is seeking and finding us is true every day, so God's invitation to be part of the feast is part of our story today and always. This is the story we share as we gather here today. Together we will confess that we are all lost, and we will declare that we are truly always already found by God, whose mercy and grace are far beyond our imaginations. Then around this table, we will tell the old, old story of how we as humanity were lost and how God became one of us, searching and entering the depths of darkness and death to find us. And here we give thanks that we have been found, and we are invited to join our voices together, to rejoice, to celebrate that not only we gather around this table, but God seeks us all and calls everyone, even those we least expect, to join in this feast. Today, may we truly join in the celebration. May we know the rhythm of God, who is glad when we come home, the source of our life, who longs to celebrate and rejoice. And as we share in our feast of bread and wine, may we join in the kingdom, the dream of God in our world. And as the grace of being found enfolds us all, may we together taste the presence of God among us. Amen.